Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I'm Cassie.
And I'm Shannon.
Hey, Dark Hearts.
Hey, Dark Hearts. I always pause because it's never in unison when we try to say it at the same time, so.
It's fine. It doesn't need to be.
Yeah.
So here we are. It's
August. Yeah.
Yeah, it's August, which is weird. I don't know where July went.
I know. I literally just read a meme that said August is like the Sunday of July. the Sunday of summer. Sorry. Yes.
Okay.
August. That makes more sense. Duh. August is like the last Sunday of summer.
That's fair.
It is fair. Cause I'm like,
I mean, I'm ready for fall.
I mean, yeah. Me too. I'm like not ready for, I mean, I am ready for routines, but kind of not at the same time. I do enjoy summer, but I don't like the heat, like super hot. So fall, I'm all about spooky season. So
100%. I tell you what, though, too, like last week, my time management all week was just horrendous. So I'm like, maybe getting back into routine will help me.
I think that's part of my problem right now, too. I just feel off and like,
yes,
I don't know. It's just weird. And it doesn't feel like, I don't know. I just feel like I don't know ever what day it is and I'm not doing anything productive and it'll be super late and I'll be like, oh, we should probably have dinner. You know, like just it's my mind. I'm just not with it.
Nope. I hear ya. So, you know, you guys, I don't think we have a whole lot. We're both kind of all over the place. So we're just going to kind of dive right in.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Nobody needs to listen to this anymore.
No, it's fine. So we are going to be in Baraboo, Wisconsin.
Baraboo? That's just a fun one to say that rolls off the tongue.
Right. Before I get started, though, I do want to give a trigger warning. There's child abuse and torture.
Oh, my.
Now, I'm not going to go into, like, any, like, excessively graphic details, but just by the nature of, like, telling the story, it can still feel pretty intense.
Oh, yeah.
So, I am also going to say, just, like, right off the bat, that this is actually a survivor story, so that is something to kind of, you know, help out. I'm going to let you know right off the bat.
Thank you. It's like asking if the dog dies at the end, you know?
Yep. Okay. Yep. So I will say I watched, a show called Escaped, and it was season 1, episode 3, and it's on Discovery Plus. And so, like, they interview the survivor and he, you know, becomes known as the survivor of the Bone Breaker, which is what this person was called.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that's what you were doing this week. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I am. I do know Small Town Murder covered this case, but it was like, I didn't re-listen to it. It was like way back when they started. It was episode like 37 or something like that.
Dang. So it's been a minute.
It's been a minute. And like all of their episodes are usually like over an hour, hour and a half. And anymore lately, I feel like they're over 2 hours. But I went back to double. Yeah. I went back to double check to see if maybe they had some information that I couldn't find. And honestly, this episode is one of their shorter episodes. And theirs are longer too because they spend so much time talking about the town and how it came to be and what's popular there and all that stuff. So.
Yeah. The meat of the case or the story is usually not nearly as long as all the extra stuff.
Yes. So with that, I will also say that there's like not a ton of like background information on anyone involved in this case. It's pretty much just the story. I tried to look up some stuff. It was just, it wasn't. So we're, we'll just dive right in and, I'm going to be talking about Thaddeus Phillips, who goes by Thad. And on July 28th of 1995, 13-year-old Thad Phillips had only lived in Baraboo for 2 weeks. They still had boxes that needed to be unpacked in their home, you know, all that stuff. So, like, they hadn't been there long. It sounds like he maybe made a few friends, but, like, Baraboo is a small town, one of those places where, like, everyone knows everyone. All that shit, you know, but like,
oh yeah,
he wasn't quite there yet. I'm sure everyone knew who he was because when you're the new person moving into town, as I can attest to, since I moved to a small town in the 4th grade, everybody knew.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, right they away. All knew him. He didn't know anyone.
Nope. Mm-hmm. So he had a few friends we'll kind of get into a little bit later, but yeah. So on July 28th, I want to say this was a Friday evening, Thad's parents, Connie and Don, they went to bed somewhere around 11 or so, but Thad stayed up to watch a late night movie in the living room, and he fell asleep there, which sounds like, you know, it's kind of common, and it's summertime, you know.
Oh, yeah,
it's, for sure. Yeah. So later, yeah, so later he felt himself being scooped up off the couch, which wasn't unusual because like his dad would take him to bed and stuff sometimes, which I'm like, part of me was like, how tiny is this 13-year-old? Because there's, right. I can't even pick up my 10.
I was just going to say the other day I had to wake mine up. I was like, I can't carry you. You got to walk to bed. Like,
yeah.
She fell asleep on the couch. No way. Not happening.
Yeah.
He must have been tiny, or the person was massively freakishly strong.
Yes. You know, maybe it's a little bit of both, because I don't think Thad was a very big 13-year-old by any means. So anyways, feels himself being picked up, just assumes it's his dad, until he realizes that they're outside of the house. Mm. And he opens his eyes and realizes he's being carried down the road.
Just and in the middle of the night.
Yes. So I want to say it was like,
yeah.
So I want to say it was sometime like maybe around midnight, a little before. I don't remember if they said in the show exactly what time this was. But you know, it sounds like too that the Phillips moved kind of out into the country of Baraboo, like on the outskirts of town or something. Like they don't have neighbors right next door to them.
Okay, that makes more sense. Because I'm like, I mean, I'm just picturing this dude kidnapping this kid or whatever is happening in front of all these other houses. So
So it sounds like maybe this road isn't very like super traveled and stuff.
The road less traveled.
Yes. So Thad, you know, it's dark and he can't tell who's carrying him, but he knows it's not his dad. And eventually this guy puts Thad down, and he's barefoot, by the way, you know. So, and
Thad,
he's like,
or the guy?
No, Thad.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So okay. Thad at this point, for some reason, is like, maybe this is just like a friend of my dad's who needs help.
And if you're kind of like out of it, you're like, am I dreaming? I'm delirious. What's going on? Yeah.
And the guy tells him, hey, my car is just down the road. I need help with it or whatever. And he's like, can you run? So they run a little ways down the road, but there's not a car there. It's a house. And, you know, Thad is interviewed and escaped, right? So he's telling this in his own story, in his own voice.
I'm very happy to hear that part, just because I think about like what could have been, but
you know, and he even says, he's like, I don't know why I was never really scared at any point. Like, I think, you know, because then they get to the house, and like this house, FYI, is less than half of a mile from his house.
So this person could have been like watching him, I mean, for two weeks worth. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, we'll get into that.
Oh, okay.
So this is also when, as they go into the house, Thad realizes, one, this isn't like an adult man. This is a boy. It's 17-year-old Joe Clark. And so even though he's only 4 years older, Joe is bigger than Thad. He's got like 70 pounds on him and stuff.
Well,
you know,
carry him at least. Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, Thad mentions that the house is just filthy when they walk in. It sounds like it's like kind of hoarders-ish, you know, just dirty dishes and clothes and everything. It's filthy. Yeah. So, and I think, so Joe now, I think Joe has lived in Baraboo his whole life. Again, there's not really much information on background of people, right?
Joe, right?
No, we don't.
Screw Joe. Yeah.
Nope. So Joe just starts talking to Thad about like baseball cards and stuff, which Joe's super into all this, you know. So he's like, hey, let's go upstairs. I got my baseball card collection up there. So Thad goes up there with him, sitting there looking at him. And Joe names off a few other boys who Thad is friends with already. It's like, yeah, they're going to come over. There's going to be a party, whatever. And Joe just keeps talking, and Thad's like super engrossed in like his baseball card collection.
So bizarre. My first thought would be, why did you carry me out of my house in the middle of the night to show me baseball cards?
Yeah, it's 1995. I mean, and like fine. I said, you know, and he's 13. And yeah, maybe I mean, like I said, Thad even says he's like
out for some party or something.
Yeah.
And he,
yeah, that's like, I don't know why it never clicked with me that this was weird, you know? Like,
right.
That's
very true.
So Thad's looking at these baseball cards, right? And, Joe suddenly stops talking, stands up, and just twists Thad's ankle until it snaps and breaks.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
How does one do that? I mean, how do you have enough strength? I mean, maybe it's easier than one would think. I guess that's just something that I've never actually thought of being done. So
no, I suppose the ankle itself is think of how easily you can twist and sprain your ankle. Yeah.
So if someone really had the strength to do it.
Well, and if you also think Thad's not expecting that, he's not fighting, so he's probably super relaxed. So like,
right. A lot
you don't
easier.
Have that against you yeah. either. So after Joe does this, like Thad mentions that he like placed his hands above his face as if he was like regretful that he had done this. Okay. And as he's standing there with his hands over his face, Thad, quick thinker, is like, I'm out of here. And he jumps up and like hobbles to the stairs and makes it downstairs, which, mind you, he's got one foot that's useless now.
Right. Like, wouldn't you be, yeah, I mean, well, adrenaline probably kicks in then too.
Yeah.
You're like, wouldn't you be just excruciating pain? My gosh.
Yeah. So he makes it down the stairs and like partway through the living room, but Joe catches up to him and tackles him. And, then he bends his leg up and breaks his right leg.
Okay. The bone mm-hmm. breaker. What did you call it? Is the bone breaker or crusher? What did you?
Bone breaker. Term?
Breaker.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Literally. Okay. I knew that was going to play into this somehow, but I wasn't expecting it in that way.
Yeah. And you're probably wondering at this point, like, where the fuck is Joe's
Correct.
Parents?
I was just going mm-hmm. to say, are there other humans in this house?
Yeah. Because, like, I get it. It's 1995. Housing market was much better than it is now. But still, a 17-year-old probably right. doesn't own his own home.
Yeah.
Especially in such a small not. Town like this. Yeah. No, they were out of town visiting his sister.
Oh, okay. Well.
Because then who? I mean, like, you're not going to think about not leaving your 17-year-old home alone for
right.
a weekend or something. Especially
clearly,
in a small
like,
town.
In the state of their home. Not saying that it was always like that. But, like, maybe they just don't really care either about
See,
a lot
yeah.
of things.
And
not
yeah.
implying that those two are correlated, but you know,
there are things I question what his childhood was like. Not that it excuses anything, but I do wonder about some things, you
yeah.
know, which usually a house like that implies mental illness of some sort on someone's end,
Correct.
You know, or drug addictions, alcoholism,
yep.
things like that, you know?
Yeah. That kind of comes into play, but
yeah. So, you know, yeah, like I said, he broke his right leg, and Thad mentions that he didn't actually feel this because his adrenaline was so high that, like, Good. He just didn't feel anything. So, they talk about in the show how he tortured him, and I will say by torture, like, nothing is done aside from bone breaking, which is horrible in and of itself.
It
like,
is.
Don't get me wrong. But when you say torture, like, I don't want to sit there, like, whenever if I say torture, I don't want our listeners to, like, start envisioning
right.
all the horrendous things that could happen. Like,
yes.
It's only ever breaking his bones.
Yeah. And,
and
which is bad enough. But
yes.
I'm glad
and
it doesn't involve
he actually
better.
Only focuses on the legs and, like, down. Legs and feet. Yeah.
So no sexual assault or anything.
No. No, but there's a part of me that kind of wonders, and I saw on some things where people commented on things, like, some people wonder if this was some sort of fetish on Joe's part.
Yeah.
You know?
Some sexual.
Yeah. I'm getting ahead of myself there.
Yeah, I'm just thinking out loud there, too, so you're good. Keep going.
Yeah. So, a little before sunrise, Joe puts Thad on a couch in the living room and tells him to get some sleep, and then Joe goes to another couch and promptly falls asleep, like...
He's not worried about him. Well, because he's like, I just broke your leg, your foot,
mm-hmm.
your ankle, whatever. Good luck
yep.
getting out of here.
Yeah. So Thad at this point is starting to feel the pain. So he's like, there's no way I can sleep. Also, this house is disgustingly hot because it's July in Wisconsin,
yeah.
which is a Midwest state. It was super hot. And
Muggy.
All of the windows yeah. are closed. And it seems like there's no AC in this house either.
And it smells bad, I'm sure, too, on top of all the
things. Oh, yeah. So, and let's face it, especially those of us who grew up in a small town, there was always at least one or two houses where you knew they were the, like, poorer family. Maybe the kid was a little sketch.
Yeah.
You know, everything about it was just, and you know, as a kid, you're like, oh, they're weird, whatever. But now you realize right. as an adult, you're like, okay, that poor kid, like, didn't, you know.
Right.
There's a lot of shit that goes into that.
Oh, yeah. But, as a kid, yeah, you don't get it.
Nope. So as Thad's laying there, he's trying to see if he can find a weapon or something. Because like I said, Joe's bigger than him and now his leg's broken. But there is still a part of him that's hoping that come morning, Joe will let him go. You mm-hmm. know, I mean, he's 13. He's like, I don't know this guy. Like,
well, and he just went to sleep kind of like he was done with him. I mean, yeah. How would he know, I guess?
Right.
You would hope.
Yes. So during all of this, then Thad's mom wakes up around 4 a.m. and she notices a light on in the kitchen that isn't usually on. So she gets up to go check, notices that Thad isn't on the couch. So she's like, okay, maybe he's the one in the kitchen. No, and he's not in his bedroom. So she wakes up his dad, whatever. And so once the sun comes up, the dad goes looking for him at like all over town, but like in all the wrong places. Like he goes to a campground in a lake that they had been to. There's a fair in town, and so he eventually goes there and checks it out. But like in all of this, they don't ask the neighbors because again, like they don't know him. Yeah, the dad's like, I don't know him. And it sounds like maybe because they don't even go to the police until
weird.
This is now Saturday. They don't go until Sunday morning.
So are they thinking he just kind of ran away at the, I mean.
So it's never addressed. Like even in the show, they don't really talk about it. They're just like, oh, you know, things don't happen in small towns. Like you don't expect the worst because that kind of stuff doesn't happen. So I don't know if they just thought, hey, he snuck out to go hang out with friends. Right. He ran away. I don't know what their thought on that was exactly. Yeah. And again, it's so sad because, like, I can't even imagine to then learn that, like, he was just half a mile away from your home.
Right, like, that close. You probably could have just yelled his name and he could have probably heard you.
Yes. So Joe eventually wakes up and he immediately starts to torture Thad again. Mm. And Thad fights back at first. And, it's, like I said, it's all just breaking of the legs. And so I'm wondering too, because like I'm curious about the fact that like why he never moved past the legs, and if it's like, so like right. your femur is your longest and also the strongest bone in your body, and so I wonder if it was like because there's so much bone to break in just the legs and they are harder bones to break, like if that was more part of the thrill.
Yeah,
because like fingers are going to be easy to break. I mean, even the toes, and I don't know if he ever like did anything to the toes. It sounds like it was like ankles and shins and femur, you know what I mean, like knee.
Oh god. That's like
yeah. And so I just don't know. So you know, Thad's trying to fight back, but Joe eventually like punches him in the back and shoves a pillow in his face. And he tells him that if he doesn't stop, he'll break his back or his neck.
And I would be like, please, at this point, do that. Well, I mean, not really, but like when you're in that much pain. Oh.
Thad's in survival mode. So his thought is, he's like, I can't escape if I have a broken back or a broken neck. And I mean, you can survive a broken neck.
That's but true. That could also a lot kill you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he stops fighting. Then by 2 p.m. that afternoon, like Thad is just trying to distract Joe so he can have any little moment of peace. And he, you know, he asks him, he's like, why? You know, why? And Joe says he just likes to hear the sound of bones breaking.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Gross.
Yeah. And something to note, too, every time Joe causes a new break, he's breaking blood vessels, which is actually causing Thad's legs to swell due to internal bleeding. Like, his legs are filling with blood.
Yeah.
So, you know, so then he asks him, you know, he's like, have you ever done this to anyone else before? And Joe asks Thad if he knows Chris Steiner. Being there 2 weeks, he didn't. And truthfully, I'm a little bit surprised that he hadn't heard about Chris Steiner in a small town like Baraboo. you'd think that some of the kids he had been hanging out with would have told him about this. But then again, sometimes small towns are like, we don't talk about this thing.
Yeah.
Right.
We don't talk about Bruno.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So, but the thing is, this was so recent still, because it was just over 1 year ago on July 3rd of 1994, Chris Steiner went missing, and he was 14 at the time. So Joe would have been like 16.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly he has a type, 13, 14 year old boys.
Right.
So then several days later on July 11th, Chris's body was found along the Wisconsin River.
Gosh.
But it wasn't clear where Chris had died. Like, he was missing a shoe. But the area he was found was this like really secluded area that was known as like a local party spot, you know, out in the woods and stuff. And so when the autopsy was performed, they found water in his lungs and they determined the cause of death was drowning. So Chris's family immediately thinks Joe had something to do with Chris's death, because he had been hanging out at their house that day, the Steiner house that day, with Chris's older brother, actually. And he was the last one to have spoken to Chris.
Interesting.
So police questioned Joe, but he denies seeing him at all that night. Police did go look at his house, and they noticed a slashed screen door and a muddy footprint at Joe's house, which led them to think he did, in fact, see him, which I don't know why that specifically made them think it. But based on that, they couldn't tell if Chris had left on his own or if he was, you know, someone had made him. So they then try to question the other kids around town, but no one has anything that's not like hearsay. It's all a friend of a friend heard this, you know, no one was like, Joe told me this.
Right.
So unfortunately, Joe's mom then gives him an alibi, saying she was home that night and so was Joe, and there's no way he could have snuck out of the house without her hearing. So I don't know if she truly did believe that, or if she was covering for her son, or what. Like I said, we just don't have enough information, like, on his mom or anything like that to have even an idea of if she truly thought, no, he was home. There's no way I wouldn't have heard him, you know?
Yeah.
Jeez. And unfortunately, because they have no other leads, the case is just left open. It, you know, they have nothing else to go on.
Do they say anything about his, like, broken, does he have broken bones, or is that,
we'll come back to
you'll
that.
Talk to that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. At the
I have
time
so many his, questions I but I was like at I the figured time he was the, part of it
yep at the time of his death they're just like he died he due to drowning yeah. and they buried
him. I'm like, yeah, probably because he had broken limbs and couldn't swim.
We'll find out.
Carry on.
So in the show, Thad actually says that Joe told him a second name, but to this day he can't remember it. So it's hard to say if there was a third victim or not.
Right.
So Thad then starts to worry that Joe's, you know, he's being pretty open about this stuff. Like,
yeah, he clearly says plans to not keep like, him around, yeah, probably. Mm-hmm.
He's like, I think he maybe plans to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
Around 5 p.m. that Saturday evening, Thad gets a bit of a break because Joe's on the phone with his girlfriend. She's going to come pick him up later that night for a date.
Ew, he's a girlfriend. Gross.
Yeah. At this point, Thad has multiple fractures and breaks in both ankles and legs. And he talks about the state of his knees. I'm not going to talk about it because just hearing about it was horrible in the show.
I mean, one can imagine. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So all of a sudden, Joe stops and shows this weird kind of compassion. So he goes and opens up this drawer, which has hundreds of neatly rolled white, like, tube socks. Like, this house is filthy, but all of these are weird, immaculate. Uh-huh. And Thad talks about how he was very precise in, like, putting these socks, like, multiple layers of socks on Thad, but making sure, you know, like, the seam on the toes was lined up perfectly, and each time everything was perfect. And he tells Thad that this is to help his ankles.
Weird.
Yeah. It's bizarre. It's a weird thing. I don't even know. So Thad's now trying to plead with Joe. He's like, hey, there are people who are going to be looking for me. They're going to miss me. If you let me go, I'll just say I tripped, you know, or whatever. He's like, it's, you know. But Joe's like, yeah, no, it's too late for that, you know? And then he tells him that he has a date and he's going to be leaving. Before he does this, though, he jumps on Thad's legs multiple times, both with his feet and his own knees. Like, Thad talks about how he put so much force into it. Like, he was, like, grunting, like, out of breath. Like, he had exerted himself.
My gosh. Mm-hmm.
And then he takes him upstairs to his bedroom and lays him on the bed and he leaves. So, I don't know how Thad is even conscious still.
Right. I was going to say, you think you'd pass out from the pain and... Uh-huh.
So, he waits for a bit to make sure that Joe's really gone. And then he rolls himself off the bed and drags himself to the top of the stairs. And mind you, he, from the waist down, he can't use his body.
Yeah. I'm shocked that he didn't break his arms or something, so he wasn't able to even
see. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't understand it. Why? And we'll get into that a little bit more, too. So Thad realizes the only way for him to get down these stairs in the quickest way is to just throw himself down them.
I mean, he's already beat to shit. Like, what mm-hmm. is...
So he does, and then when he lands at the bottom, he passes out for a bit, you know, and he doesn't know how long.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
So his goal is to try to drag himself to the kitchen, because that's where he heard Joe talking on the phone.
Oh, right.
Uh-huh. So the problem is he'll drag himself with his arms a little ways, but then the pain makes him pass out. So he'll pass out for a bit, wake up, drag, pass out, wake up. And, like, this repeats, and he doesn't know for how long.
Hey, Dark Hearts, we wanted to tell you about one of our favorite products that helps keep you safe and also gives you peace of mind.
She's Birdie is a cool little device that is small enough you can hook it on a keychain, bag, or even just carry it.
There are two different types of birdies. The original birdie, when activated, chirps very loud. Trust me, it's ear piercing. We've tried it. And also has an intense strobe light that helps deter attackers and gets the attention of potential bystanders.
The She's Birdie Plus is a Bluetooth-enabled device that connects to an app on your phone that gives you 24/7 support where live reps are available. It can also send you a fake call to get out of an uncomfortable situation, as well as provide GPS location to your chosen contacts. This birdie does require a subscription you can either pay monthly or annually.
The best part is you can get 15% off your order when you use the code DARKHEARTS15.
Check out shesbirdie.com to see what fun colors and patterns you can purchase.
Stay Heartland kind and be extra Darkland wary with your new birdie. Oh, I'd be freaking out too. Like, when is he going to come home, you know?
Well, and then he hears them at the kitchen door. And so he kind of drags himself a bit behind the couch, because he's only towards the living room at this point. So he kind of drags himself behind a couch and he hears Joe and his girlfriend kind of talking in the kitchen. And Thad talks about how he, like, briefly thought about calling out, but mm-hmm. then he was worried the girlfriend would help Joe and then it would just be, you know, worse. Like, yeah. He knows Joe's already going to be pissed once he finds him.
Yeah.
But if the girlfriend, you know, it just...
You just don't know. That could go either way, or he could end up doing it to the girlfriend, too, because...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Thad stays quiet. The girlfriend leaves, and Joe finds Thad pretty quickly, and he is furious. And so he takes Thad back upstairs and continues to torture him.
Oh, my gosh.
So by 7 a.m. Sunday morning, Thad has now been with Joe for 29 hours... And this is when his family finally files a missing persons report with the local police. And then just throughout the day, off and on, you know, Joe will torture Thad for a while and then, like, take breaks or whatever. And the thing is then it becomes not just, like, this physical torture, but there's also a little bit of, like, mental torture, because Thad will ask to at least just call his parents. He's like, you know, you don't have to let me go. Just let me talk to him.
Right.
And he'll hand him a phone, be like, all right, here you go. And then Thad realizes it's not plugged in.
Yeah. Just
or Thad will be like, you know, if you let me go, I'll say this, you can leave me here and this. And then Joe will be like, okay, well, no, you know, mm-hmm. like that kind of back and forth.
And I feel like at this point, what else? I mean, if he's broken his legs and all that, how many times, like, is he just inflicting more pain upon those broken bones? Because what else is there to break?
See, and that's just it. Like, is he trying to see how many times he can break a specific bone? Because like I said, your femur's really long.
I mean, you multiple spots. Yeah. That's true. Gosh.
So Joe has another date that evening, and before he leaves, that's when he does the most damage to Thad's legs. Again, he jumps on him, you know, he does a whole bunch. To the point where, like, Thad mentions in the show how he would be like, I think I hear something. I think your girlfriend's here. So he'd stop and he'd look. He's like, I just needed even those 10 seconds. He's like, I know he would come back pissed, but I needed that 10-second reprieve. Mm-hmm. So before he leaves, Joe then places Thad in this, like, small closet. It's full of junk. And he locks the door. So Thad starts looking for whatever he can to try to break down the door, right? So at first he finds this, like, steel thermos. Unfortunately, it wasn't heavy enough. Eventually he finds, like, a wooden electric guitar, and he uses that to break out a panel of the door and get the door unlocked. Then it's just, like, a repeat of the night before. He gets to the top of the stairs, and he's like, I don't know how long he's going to be. If I throw myself down the stairs, I'm going to pass out again, but there's no way to do it. So he does. He throws himself down the stairs. He does pass out. It's a repeat. Like I said, he crawls, he passes out, he crawls, he passes out. But tonight he makes it to the kitchen. And
But how's he going to stand up or get up?
Well, okay. So I'm,
I know you're like, I just feel like I'm on the edge of my seat, like thinking.
So in the kitchen is, people of our generation and older will understand. You remember the phones that attach with the really long cords?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
So you could pace and walk.
Yeah.
So
they have, like, around the corners. Uh-huh. And Yes.
So that is what's hanging up on the wall. So
Thank God for that.
Yes. So he tugs on it and gets it down. And thankfully, the numbers on those phones are on the receiver.
Yes.
So he dials 911. And so the dispatch then contacts the detective on duty for that evening and is like, hey, so we've got the kid who the missing persons report was on 911. And he's like, okay, we'll patch him over. And he thinks this is a prank at first because he said Thad was so stoic and calm. Like, you'd expect the kid to be freaking out.
Panic, pure panic.
And they even play part of, like, the 911 clip where he's like, yeah, I'm, you know, and he is. Like, you wouldn't even know what he'd been through.
That's wild. It's crazy what your body can do and, like, your mind. I mean.
Right. Oof. So, dispatch, while he's on the phone with the detective and stuff, you know, because I don't think Thad fully knows where he is. Like, he knows he only went a little ways down the road from his house, but they're able to locate where the call, you know, they can trace the call.
Yeah.
So the detective and, like, two other police cars show up at this house, and you hear dispatch tell Thad, like, hey, the detective's out there, but I want you to stay on the phone with me until they get there, you know, and you hear them coming in and yelling his name, and he's like, yeah, I'm here in the kitchen. And the detective was like, that was the most horrific scene. Like, because Thad's just laying on the floor. His legs are swollen and black and blue. His internal bleeding is just awful.
I'm sure that has to do so much damage to, I mean, all sorts of parts of your body, regardless of it being in your legs.
Yeah. So an ambulance obviously comes right away, rushes him to the hospital. And in the house, police find, like, school notebooks full of lists of names. There's three specific lists. One list is get to know. The other is can wait. And the third is just titled leg stuff.
Ew, that gives me the creeps. Wow.
So it's like he clearly, like, this was a, like, if Thad hadn't escaped, this would have continued. Kid even wait a year. And, I'm sorry, he waited a year. He waited barely over a year.
That's insane that,
And
you think he'd be scared or like, hey, I got away with it. Like, maybe just let it go. But clearly, sick.
Yeah. So, now, while all this is going on, Thad's parents are just a half mile down the road, so they hear the police sirens go rushing by. Oh, then they hear the ambulance, and the mom's like, I just knew instinctively yeah. that this was about Thad. And so they get the phone call and they rush to the hospital. And Thad's rushed into emergency surgery, where the doctors say in 2 more hours he would have died because the internal bleeding was so severe.
Wow. That is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But believable. And I mean, I'm surprised. Well, I guess, yeah, maybe with just bones. I feel like it would have happened sooner, but.
Right. I'm kind of surprised with how much, like, I don't know if maybe the swelling yeah. then stopped some of it somehow.
Right.
I don't know. Wow. But all said and done, I want to say Thad was in this house and being tortured for like 41 hours.
Jeez. That's not very long, but at the same time, when you're going through something like that, that's like the longest.
The longest. Ever. And to be so close to home too.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That's so awful.
Mm-hmm. Joe's picked up from the fair, you know, and taken to the police station. And you know, the police question Thad after surgery. He's like still drugged up on pain meds. And at this point, he can't even remember Chris Steiner's name.
Right.
He just was like, he told me there were two others and one of them started with an S. So him and his dad went through the phone book, down every name until they came to Steiner, and Thad was like, that's it.
Wow.
So then.
That's crazy. Like,
yeah.
That's dedication, though. My gosh.
So, and like I said, to this day, they say they've never identified a third victim or seen anyone. But I'm like, part of me questions, too, like later on, too. It's like small town. I'm like, how? You know?
Right. Like, who's covering up what? Or
like, it just seems like there's no, I don't know. It doesn't feel like Chris could have been the first.
No. This kid seems like he sort of knew what he was doing to get away with the first one enough. And then,
yeah, and just like, how, I mean, I guess he could have started, like, we don't know. Like, he could have started with like animals and stuff like that to learn. I don't know.
Was his name, this is random, but was Thad's mm-hmm. name in that book or on one of those lists? I mean,
did they? I don't know. They don't say.
Creepy.
They didn't actually say that. So now, since he's like, yeah, hey, Chris Steiner, police are then like, okay, let's exhume his body and see. And the prosecutor's like, no, it's mandatory, or like it's practice. Like whenever an autopsy is done, x-rays are supposed to be done too. So we'll just go look at those. Except x-rays were never done on Chris Steiner during his autopsy.
Why? Especially in a murder case. What? Oh my gosh.
Someone in the small town dropped the ball, which
someone
is where I'm
sure
like,
did.
Has someone dropped the ball on fine, like looking up missing cases of like,
it makes
or,
you
like,
wonder,
you know?
Yeah. It's like, well, maybe that's why some other random person is missing and they don't know who.
Yeah. Or was affected. And like, was it like a really small child then, you know, but their bones broke too easily or something. I don't know. Let's hope for the sake of everything that poor Chris and Thad were the only two actual human victims. There's no way there weren't animal
victims,
because
maybe he was talking a big game too, like
to make it sound like more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So poor Chris's parents, they obviously give permission for his body to be exhumed. They do x-rays on all of Chris, and they talk about how you could like place Chris's x-rays over Thad's x-rays and they lined up almost perfectly. This is where I'm like, how could it have been? Like, he broke them in the same ways, which I suppose if you break it that badly too, but I'm also like, I'm curious about what happened with Chris. I did see that there was like an interview with like, I think some podcast did an interview with Joe Clark, but I wasn't about to give him that to listen. And like, is he gonna tell the truth anyways?
No.
I don't know what happened with Chris, like if he was in his home or if he did all this stuff out in the woods. Unfortunately, Chris would have been alive. He did drown because
that's what I was thinking. He was alive then when he went into the water.
Yes. So on September 12th of 1996, Joe goes to trial and he admits to taking Thad, but he denies remembering doing anything to him. He says he blacked out during the torture sessions. I'm like, bullshit, you have full lists.
Right. You did not black out multiple times every single time you did it.
It wasn't a one-time stuff thing. Is like, when you only focused on breaking bones in his legs, leg stuff.
Yeah.
What else could that be?
Yeah.
There's no way that you think about it and then black out when you're doing it.
No. You clearly, there was premeditation right there. I mean, yes. You were planning on killing him. I mean, if he wouldn't have died before,
yeah,
you know, from his injuries.
Exactly. And so he's found guilty and he's sentenced to 100 years in prison without parole. And then 1 year later, he's found guilty for the murder of Chris Steiner.
Good.
And he's sentenced to life in prison with parole, except he's not eligible for parole until 2110. So clearly he'll be dead by then.
Thank God.
Once
again, yeah. Said that a lot today.
Right. Like, so wow. Yeah. So if there was a third victim, we don't know. Thad actually still lives in Baraboo.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, good for him, though, for not, like, letting... I don't know. That's very
I wouldn't want to be there.
No, I would probably go as far away.
Yeah. So I did find an article, too, from April of this year, actually, that said Thad was awarded $21 million, but after countless surgeries and medical expenses, he hasn't seen a dime of it. So it sounds like a woman, maybe a local woman, started a GoFundMe for him.
Okay.
And so I'll have that linked because it is still up if anyone feels so inclined. But Thad is able to walk. Like,
I was just going to ask what.
And that was the other thing I really wish in the show. They didn't go into like how extensive, because you know that would have been some extensive recovery and physical therapy and.
Oh, yeah.
All the things. And then I, you know, does he have chronic pain still? All the things I wonder about. But they showed him walking like he was walking fine. No cane or anything like that. And
wow. Did it look like he was walking? I mean, could you tell if there was anything off? Wow.
No.
I'm surprised they wouldn't have to even like amputate his legs. I just think about if there was that much blood.
I mean, internal. Yeah. I'm just wondering like how many different surgeries they did to try to make sure they could save his legs. It had to have been a ton of surgeries to try to save his legs. There's no way it was just one.
No. Gosh. And how much pain, like not only that experience, but just the aftermath of recovery, like mental and physical.
Right.
Gosh.
So that's
traumatizing.
Yeah, that is the survival story of Thad Phillips and the unfortunate case of Chris Steiner, who are both victims of Joe Clark, who became known as the Bone Breaker.
Gross. Yeah. What a vicious, horrible, gruesome, nasty thing to do.
I know. I mean, and like I said, I'm so curious on whether or not his mom had any, like his parents had any sort of idea.
Right. Like, you would think you would notice if something is off with your kid, you know, like,
but again, as we talked about with like the state of the house, like how much attention, I don't know. There's so much. I wish there was more background and detail, like not that it excuses anything, but again, knowing whether or not like,
it could make a difference just in knowing different things. Like obviously he had mental health issues that probably were never addressed and oh my gosh. And like, if his mom was willing to lie for him about, I mean, having an alibi anyway.
Yeah. But like, was she lying or did she legitimately believe it?
That's
know,
true.
Some parents are naive about like what their children do or whether or not they would know if their kid snuck out, you know?
And you really don't want to think of your like 16-year-old, I guess he would have been at the time, doing something that awful. Like you would think there's
And
no
the
way.
Thing at that point, we don't even, you know, no one even knew that Chris had been tortured.
Right.
They were just like, oh, he drowned because accidental. No one fucking did they not? I'm just questioning too, like the state of his legs. If the bones were broken that bad, like no one was like, the person doing the autopsy wasn't like, hey,
right? Like, what person did the autopsy? Like, did we have an actual professional? Because
I'm
like,
so
isn't
curious.
It?
I'm like,
standard procedure that they have to go through.
Yes,
all certain,
and that's
things
what they said.
And
that's why the prosecutor is like, we don't need to exhume this poor boy. Because x-rays would have been done.
Right. That's the whole point. So you don't have to go through that process of doing that and putting everyone through that. That's awful. Oh my gosh. That is insane. That's why I was like, okay, they didn't think to check anything as far as this kid randomly just drowned. And I'm sure like there was probably extra swelling too from being in the water. And you know what I mean? Drowning.
That's true too.
But
I don't know.
At the same time,
just got details. Yeah. There's a lot of balls being dropped.
Clearly, the balls are flying everywhere here.
Yeah. Like, listen, it was not
wild and terrible.
I mean, but luckily Chris's family got closure and they, you know, didn't have to wait terribly long, but that's still horrendous.
And how did Joe just get into his house? I mean, that's another thing. Did he just walk in? Did he break in?
I'm assuming he just walked in because 1995, small town, I doubt that's people there locked their doors.
Yeah, that's true. That's so weird too. And he must have been watching him, you would think. I mean, to know then, well, if he has this list, but like.
Well, and he's not that far down the road. Yeah. And again, small town, everyone knows when a new family moves in and exactly who they are, how old the kids are.
So true.
So, yeah.
Gosh.
So that's Baraboo, Wisconsin.
Baraboo.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I'm never going to Baraboo, but it sounds like it should be something like Caribou. Like, you know, you're going to be some fancy place, but this is clearly not that.
No, it's Wisconsin. Like,
Wisconsin. That's... Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my. My. Okay.
So that's disgusting. Yep. Did you watch or read anything in the last week?
No and no. Because I literally don't know what I've done. It's just been like, I don't know. What have I done? I definitely have not read anything. I know that much. I don't know that I've watched anything really. I mean, anything important enough to share, I guess. So
there you go. That's fair.
I'm sure you have a way better list than I would have anyway.
I'm trying
right
to
now.
Remember. Let me see. Well, first of all, I did actually, I'm only a few episodes in, but I started watching What We Do in the Shadows on Hulu. And it's hilarious.
It's a comedy?
It's a comedy. It's a British comedy. I think you might like it though. So it's got vampires, but it's got Office vibes because it's they're doing a documentary about these vampires.
Okay.
And do you remember Nate from the later seasons of The Office, who was Dwight's like maintenance guy after Dwight?
Yeah.
He's in it.
Oh,
same
okay.
kind of like monotone, like
dry sense of humor.
Yes. Yes.
I can dig that.
They're short episodes too. They're only like 30 minutes long, if that, you know. Uh-huh. So I think a new season's out now. It's like fifth or sixth. I'm on season one. But I loved it. Yeah, it was funny. What I've watched. I enjoyed that. I did read a few things. I finished listening to For the Wolf. Nope, I already talked about that last time. So Maleficent. That's fine. Maleficent has her own comics now. So I read the first two issues of that. That was fun.
Oh,
the artwork is stunning.
That is
love
very
it.
Fun.
She in the first one, she helps this like little teenage boy who comes gallivanting into her woods. She saves him from some wolves, and then he's all like, "Woe is me! My family's trying to make me work because I'm the second son, and my brother's the prince, and we'll take over the kingdom." And I don't want to. I want to adventure. And she was like, all right, cool. And he was like, oh, you're Maleficent. Can I have your staff? And she was like, nah. But he's like, can I have a gift? And I'm like, dude, she gave you the gift of your life.
Shit. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's like, but still,
I'm sorry,
she's cool.
Lived.
She's like, you know what? Here's a compass. It will take you to your heart's desire. Go forth and adventure. The little jackass uses it to sneak into her palace and steal her staff.
So I hope she kills him.
She rightly turns him into like this fox creature. She's like, there, now you can sneak around all you want.
There you go. I dig that. That's fun.
And then in the next issue, his brother comes looking for him and she's like, yo, your brother tried to steal from me and do this. He's like, no, that's not like him. He means well. He means no harm. It's like, this is the most white man bullshit I have ever read. Like,
wow.
This is it. She's like, yeah, no, you best leave before I do to you what I did to him.
Oh,
and that's
gosh.
Where that third issue's out.
That's actually kind of funny.
Yet. But yeah, I'm like, I'm so interested. I'm like, yeah. I was like, she saved the kid. And he's
that's
like,
funny.
Okay, but give me your staff. And she's like, no. But here's a compass that'll guide you to anything you could possibly
that
could
want. Could have gone a lot of ways for him, but yeah.
No, the greedy little bastard.
Ugh.
But then I did also read on Kindle Unlimited, it's called Blood and Sunlight. It's like this girl gets sucked into a world with magical creatures and, you know, comes
one
part
of those.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun.
So, okay. That's all I've gotten so far this week.
Well, you know, it's more than I have. Two more. Well, not two, because I guess you read.
I mean, the comics are like small. No, you know, just they're only like they're like little novellas total. It was like 60 pages total, maybe for the two of them. So
yeah, well, that's fine. That's 60 pages more than I have read. So, and I have all like intentions to do it, but it. I feel like once we get going with like school again, I'll get back into it. So that's what we're going for. But
there you go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I actually went through and I realized I read 21 books in August, and that's including the two, you know, comics, but I was like, I don't even remember. Like, I didn't think I had read that much because I felt like I even got on like a little bit of like, what do you call it when you're just like burnt out a little bit, you know, from it. I was just kind of like meh about my reading a little bit. And
that's
then
kind of how I was maybe.
Yeah. So I finished that last one I mentioned last night, and I tracked it in my StoryGraph app, and I was like, oh, how many books have I read in July then? I was like, 21. I was like, nah.
That's like, amazing.
I was like, well, shit.
That's, so, yeah, that is amazing. Yeah. So I don't think I've read any books then. No, I read one. No, because I bought one before I went on my vacation. I bought like a new one to read.
Yeah.
And that was in June, and I never read it. And I still haven't read it, and that's I have fun. Not read any other books. So
I need to bring you The Chain and that Alice Feeney's Daisy Darker one too.
Oh, that's right. Was that? Yeah. That's right. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was trying to think of what name of the book, and that's what it was. Yep.
I have another Alice Feeney one
to read. There was one I saw posted on her like Instagram page that was coming out, and I don't know.
Yes, I do know she has a new one coming out. Because on NetGalley, I've tried to do an arc for it, but I don't think they've tried to see if I can get that. But I know I have another one of hers. Maybe it's like Sometimes I Lie, or maybe that was by someone else. Is that by her or like Camilla something? I don't know. I know
that
I
one's familiar though. That title. Yes. I know that title. I've seen it. But...
So I have one other of Alice Feeney's that I need to read still too. Let's face it, I've got a ton of books behind me that I need to read.
Yeah, I know. That's where I'm at. And I'm like, I just need to get back in the swing of it and like get these other little projects done that I've been trying to complete. And then I will jump right back in, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, that's it. That's what.
That's it. I'm going to do yoga tonight.
Oh, yeah.
So
have fun.
You could join me. 6:45. You and your daughter could do it. It's real chill. It's not even like, it's not like a workout. Like you're not going to break a sweat. It's all stretchy and like.
Oh, which is amazing. I keep thinking like I need to get a massage. I jacked my neck up so bad. I don't know. It's like, I've never had my neck hurt like this, like consistently for a while. So.
I messed up my shoulder doing body pump on Saturday. It's been real tight and sore the last few days.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like a fun one though. I've been wanting to try some of those. So,
they also have soon. That one on Saturday mornings, but,
and that's she can technically go to the classes. Yes. And she's old enough to, if they don't, I mean, I'm sure they don't even,
check, but mine will probably be in the watch area. And I doubt they would check her age if she wouldn't hang out there, if you decided that's to true. Do it.
Yeah. Well, I will definitely, think on that one, but
there you go. I like how we're having this whole conversation. Yeah. Like our listeners care. If you're gonna like join me at the Y.
That's when I go to the Y. Okay. Yeah.
Perfect. So yeah, you guys, you know the drill. Social medias. I'm for sure done with Twitter now. I think I should maybe just delete our Twitter because it's now like X or something.
Yeah. It is something weird.
It updated and I was so confused, but you guys, we're there for now. I haven't updated it in a while, but then we have Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. We have our Patreon, our website, all those things are linked in the show notes. Rate and review if you're able to, wherever you're listening, share it, follow us wherever you listen, like all that stuff helps us out. So we greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, we really do. So do that. Do all the things.
Do all the things, please. Until next time, stay heartland kind.
But darkland wary.